A final group of laws from Mesopotamia is not nearly as well known as Hammurabi's, but they show a major shift in one aspect of Mesopotamian society that we have discussed several times, the status of women. The laws provide for situations in which women figure prominently, either as victims or instigators of a crime. And the punishment mandated in these laws often included bodily mutilation. A woman who stole could have her ears cut off by her husband. Death is mandated for any woman who commits adultery. And this is not specific to the Middle Assyrian laws that are so concerned with women, but the scenarios in which a woman commits adultery and the effects of her punishment are described quite explicitly. It's a little gruesome to imagine all of these women with ears cut off, noses cut off, other body parts that are damaged, and then she can be killed for seemingly looking at another man. Another group of edicts from the Middle Assyrian period governs the behavior of palace officials, especially the women. The goal here was to control interaction between men and women. Usually men and women would be separated into different quarters of the palace, and any man who had to visit the women's quarters must receive permission from certain officials in order to approach them. Eunuchs were widely employed in the palace, and they were most often the messengers that would be sent to the women's quarters. But even eunuchs had to follow very specific and strict regulations, so they could only speak to women with the permission of the palace commander. The king also ordered that women be veiled and have their shoulders covered in any conversation with a male attendant. Even the distance between the male and the female was set out. No one should be closer than 7 paces from a member of the opposite sex for any conversation. Otherwise, this would raise the suspicion of those who were watching them. Middle Assyrian society appears to be much more restrictive than the earlier periods that we have been talking about, especially with respect to women. This may reflect the specific culture of the palace. A king would be specifically worried about questions of legitimacy for his children than occurred in the rest of the kingdom. But the change is so obvious and seems so severe and strict that it's hard not to imagine that the rest of Middle Assyrian society was equally regulated and ordered. The laws that we've seen are fascinating for the very specific situations that they describe and the manners in which rulers settled them. The laws show the areas that were probably the most litigious: property issues, especially with respect to inheritance or divorce, or issues that required an intermediary, such as a higher authority setting wages and fees, as well as penalties for various crimes. Social divisions require different levels of punishment, and there is also a sense of gender inequity. Overall, a woman's movements and her behavior is more highly suspected than any behavior of a male. We can't know how these laws were enacted in Babylon or Assur. Nothing in the code explains how the whole legal system works. We hear lots about lawsuits and corrupt judges, but nothing about lawyers or advocates. So who was involved in these lawsuits? Was it only the two individuals who were quarreling? Law codes, as they have become known, were in reality yet another type of public monument sponsored by the king to promote his rule to his subjects and to ensure his legacy in the future. In the next lecture, we will move from the laws set by kings to a survey of the scientific fields that attracted the curiosity of the Babylonians.